Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Our look back at the fourth day's play in the Barbados Test match, the second test of the Richards-Botham series in the Caribbean. And actually, it was sort of deja vu. It was Groundhog Day in Barbados, which means actually, and this is, I suppose, it's an unfair segue, but actually we should talk more about the brilliant win by England's women in New Zealand in the World Cup, because that actually was a proper game, whereas at the moment the England test is a bit of a bore. A bore draw? Will it be a bore draw? Possibly, but it hasn't been riveting really, has it?
No, it hasn't. It's been really dull. I was actually at a 70th birthday party last night at my old cricket club, and there were obviously lots of cricket people there, both West Indies supporters and England supporters. And everyone was saying, oh, this is awful. West Indies cricket supporters were saying the same thing, even though they were battling to try and save the match after England made 500. You know, it's just not very good for Test cricket. Pitches like this, it's really poor, and it just sucks the life out of the game. And it's very frustrating. And why the pitches are like this, I don't know. But I mean, it's not as if it's happening for the first time. There have been some difficult pitches in West Indies before, you know, stultifying pitches. And, you know, there have been some precedents. You go back to 1954, England made 181 in 150.5 overs in that test match against West Indies in reply to 383. So it's happened before, but it's because both games have been quite similar, really. And actually, talk about the similarity, Yoz. In the Antigua Test match, England were 153 ahead going into the final day, and this time there are 136 ahead going into the final day. So we're in for a pretty similar day. It needs to be better than this, doesn't it? The pitch is such a vital part of Test match cricket, and there's a bit in it. And you probably say the bowling attacks are not the best, but it's. I don't know. It's hard watching.
Yeah, it is. What about watching England women in New Zealand, though? That keeps you on tenterhooks. It's weird, isn't it? They lost their first three games. There's a sort of vague parallel with England's men in the 2019 World Cup, where, you know, they were favourites, which I know the England women aren't really in this tournament, but England men obviously started brilliantly in that 2019 with a win against South Africa, and then really kind of stuttered after that, lost to Pakistan, beat Bangladesh and West Indies, then lost to Sri Lanka and lost to Australia, and suddenly reach a no return point where they had to beat India and they had to win the rest of the matches to get to the final. And it's the same with the England's women, and they've kind of thrived on this pressure. So they've had one quite emphatic win over India, and now a real nerve-wracking win with the last pair, Anya Shrubsall and Charlie Dean, together at the end, seeing England home by one wicket and keeping their hopes alive.
Well, they've been involved in some really close games so far. In fact, the whole tournament has been full of close matches. It's been, you know, really good for the tournament as a whole. I suppose the one thing you'd say, you're watching in the UK or following it from the UK, is, you know, it's right in the middle of the night. So you have to be really diligent in your cricket watching or listening to follow the tournament. And what, Saturday night into Sunday morning, staying up to watch it and finishing in the quite early hours of Sunday morning UK time. So whether it's caught the imagination in the same way, and inevitably probably hasn't caught the imagination the same way as the last World Cup in England, because you can follow it, you know, during the day. But I mean, it's, you say actually sort of it was a dramatic, it was more a nervy win for England. They were cruising it actually. And if they'd lost the game, then I think, you know, big questions would have been asked, because they lost 5 wickets for 20 runs when they were cruising it. They needed 28 to win off 9.5 overs, and Nat Siver was going well, and then they just lost wickets, and some of them were, okay, pressure builds, doesn't it? When your tournament is on the line, pressure builds. But a couple of the dismissals were really poor, including the run out of Catherine Brunt. They came back for a second run when they didn't need to risk it. There was no time pressure in terms of the overs ticking away. I mean, they won the game with 2.4 overs to spare. So it was, yeah, perhaps the pressure built and told. They'd been away for a long time because they had the Ashes beforehand, and everything was suddenly in the balance. But again, they really should have won with a degree of comfort, as indeed they did the other day against India. Now, the situation now is that they have to win their last two matches against Bangladesh and Pakistan, who are the two weakest teams in the group. And if they do that, and I'm just trying to work out all the permutations this morning, if they do that, then it could well come down to net run rate to see who qualifies for the semi-final. So they're just about, I mean, it's making it exciting, isn't it? They're keeping their heads just above water and staying in the tournament, the defending champions. But meanwhile, of course, at the top of the pool, Australia are dominating, and you know they do look good, don't they, to win it again, you know, this time in New Zealand. And The one thing I suppose you would say is you can win all your group matches, but when it comes to the day, you know, the semi-final or final, whatever, you know, something can go wrong. So that's the one thing that Australia, I suppose, have to be concerned about.
They've got their own Joe Root, haven't they, Australia? Meg Lanning, she's extraordinary. The prolific nature of her run-making, and just like Joe Root, and just never gets bored, just, you know, churns out runs almost in her sleep. And she's the rock that the whole Australian campaign is built round. I'm not saying there aren't other players. They've got some other superb players as well. But she is an incredibly consistent performer. Well, going back to England in the Caribbean, I guess, you know, there will be questions asked. It was a benign pitch again. Could England have done more? I think you just need pace on these pitches. That the only thing you can use is extreme pace to take the pitch out of the equation by either bowling full at the stumps or short at the batsman's head. And England haven't got that at the moment. Saqib Mahmood, probably the quickest bowler, with a bit of Ben Stokes, but just unresponsive surface. And I think in the end, credit, though it wasn't that watchable, to two men who dominated, well, in fact, in one case, he's dominated the whole match, really. Craig Brathwaite, who was on the field for 318 overs, the first 318 overs of the match, I worked out, because he was captain, obviously, for the West Indies when they were in the field for 150 overs, and batted himself for 168 overs. So an extraordinary performance. And countered by Jack Leach, who, you know, has had a really tough year and a half. And OK, he didn't have the most amazing figures in the end, but he bowled 69 overs, was it, I think, in the innings?
69.5, yeah.
And he conceded less than two runs an over. So great credit to him for just being so consistent, having the energy and the stamina and the perseverance to keep going, not losing heart at all. There are little things I'd love to see him do to his bowling. And there was quite an interesting interview with Jeetan Patel, the England spin bowling coach, actually, during play, when play was suspended for rain for a bit. And he was talking about the trying to find the right pace for the pitch. And they'd obviously do discuss it at quite length. And finding that if you bowl with the newish ball, you've got to kind of go a bit quicker because it bites and bounces. And then slower when it's older to try and allow the ball a little bit more time on the surface to grip. And it's a measure of trying to find the right speed, but it's a tough one when there's no response from the surface itself.
Yeah, Jack Leach discussed. I mean, he bowled some tremendous deliveries. In fact, actually, the one that defeated Brathwaite in the end, you know, was an excellent delivery. There were plenty of them during the innings. You know, he was ripping the ball past the off stump, but sometimes just perhaps turning it a bit too much, and the batters were missing it, and it was going through to Ben Foulkes. He's not the best left-arm spinner ever to bowl for England, but after what happened in Australia, he's come back strongly, and he has been able to. Well, one thing he wasn't able to do in Australia in the first innings was hold an end. I suppose here the focus was really on him because it was his job to try to win the game for England, and I think you feel as if there's enough there in a way. There's enough happening for the spinner, but
it's very slow.
For whatever reason,
and they can adjust.
So you can, as a batter, you can, and it's hard to explain, isn't it? Because it's coming down at what 88 kilometers an hour or 85 kilometers an hour, and that you sort of feel that should be fast enough to get a wicket. But if it's just holding in the pitch,
I think it's the consistency of the bounce as well. If you play in the subcontinent, you're going to get some which sort of skid through a bit low from the spinners, and some which bounce a little bit more, and then it makes it harder to ride the spin because the ball's bouncing at different heights, and also you don't know, it's more unpredictable, so it's uncertain whether it's safe to go back or forward. But on a pitch like this, which is slow and there's a little bit of bounce, you've got the time to play back, and if the ball spins, you can just adjust because of the consistent bounce. So it's all defeating a spin bowler's best attempt. You know, I don't think that Leach has a massive amount of flair as a spin bowler. There's no theatre, is there, about him bowling. It's just a kind of fairly relentless process. But that's him, and that's admirable. And, you know, he's never going to let anybody down, that's for sure. You know, he's a very consistent operator, and, you know, he should take credit from his performance here because It's decent figures on a pretty unresponsive surface.
Yeah, it's tough for everyone. We said it at the start. So, yeah, I suppose the test will come if we do get a pitch sometime that, you know, that has got a bit more in it. Can he win the game for England in these conditions? I mean, who knows? I mean, it may well be that England do set up something today. They tried to do it in Antigua, and the pitch defeated them there. They took four wickets on the final day. They were pressing, and there were some chances created, and there was an LBW against Jason Holder that wasn't given, that, you know, that may have changed the course of the match. Do you see any possibility, though, of England being able to come out there? And I think they'll have a go, won't they? They'll set West Indies something today, I presume. You know, they'll try to press on, and whether it's, I don't know, 50 overs or something like that, it doesn't feel a lot, does it, when you've already bowled 187.5 overs to try to bowl West Indies out, and then you've got to try and bowl them out in 50 overs. But, you know, things can happen quicker sometimes, yeah, on the final day under a bit of pressure. I suppose the one thing I would say is the England bowling attack sort of ready to go again? I mean, after spending two days in the field. Yeah,
I think that's absolutely right. And you know, your fingers, you bowl 69 overs of spin, your fingers are tired. You know, there's sort of arthritis sort of started to percolate into your wrist and things like that. So it will be very hard for England. You know, there's very little in the pitch for the faster bowlers. They've all been in the field for nearly 2 days or more than 2 days, and there's no real pace in that attack. Although they all did pretty creditably. I thought it was quite interesting that Chris Wokes was not given the third new ball, that it was given to Matthew Fisher and Ben Stokes, interestingly. And that almost as if Chris Wokes is just not going to be your surface. It's not going to be your place bowling out here. It may be he doesn't even play in the third test, actually, which would be kind of harsh on a man who's been such a faithful servant to England. And he's always the one, he's always the fall guy, isn't he, really? But anyway, whether that happens, I don't know. But it's going to be very tough, I think, for England to force a result.
Hey, it's Kate Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Just one thing, by the way. You said you were at a 70th birthday. I was at a 50th birthday party last night, actually. And I talked to an American who's been living in England for 15 years. And she said when she first arrived here from Chicago, all the talk was about cricket because it was 2005. It was the Ashes. And she just got totally hooked on the contest and the whole cricket thing. She just got, wow, this is an amazing sport. I've heard about it in America. I don't know anything about it. Now I've really got into it. It's absolutely brilliant. And she said, where's cricket now? What's happened? Because I don't hear about it anymore. I don't pay for Sky because I'm not a sports addict. But I want to see cricket, but I've just sort of lost the connection with it. And she was explaining that basically, and this is something I think which really has afflicted cricket massively in this country. She was just saying that if you're an absolute, you know, passionate fan of sport, yeah, you will buy Sky Sports or BT Sport, for instance. But if you're someone who is peripherally interested, you'll wait until a big event comes on the terrestrial TV coverage. And then, you know, if that event delivers, then you'll get sucked into it. You'll get hooked into it. But if it's not there, it kind of passes you by. And she said she's really sad because, you know, she kind of, after 2005, she really got into it and she wanted to go to Lords and found it exciting. But gradually, over time, cricket's presence just disappeared from her radar.
It does bring you back to the 100 again, doesn't it, really? You know, that is on free-to-air television. It is more visible and it did get, you know, a lot of people watching last summer. So, and so we're sort of back into the 100 debate again. People like us and lots of other older cricket fans would, I think, like to see some free-to-air cricket. Just because, not because the companies that cover cricket do it badly, they do it really well. And, you know, it is wall-to-wall and it's there for the cricket fan. You can see it, you can buy your subscriptions, you can sit down, you can watch Craig Brathwaite back for 2 days, if that's what you like to watch. But what you don't get necessarily is the casual cricket fan just turning on, or the casual sports fan turning on, as you say. I mean, other people say, well, the young people today just watch their phones and just watch streaming on their phones. But if that was available free to air as well, then yeah, you might come to it via your handheld device as well. You see on the train, you know, I do it myself, you know, on the train or whatever, you try to watch sport, you try to access it wherever you are. And that's there is a sort of changing way of accessing media these days.
But have you seen who sponsors the Pakistan-Australia series? The main sponsor is, of course, TikTok.
Yeah.
And those of you who of a certain age who either hate TikTok or don't know what it is, it's got a value, actually. You know, it's short form video. A lot of it is people dancing and singing, quite annoying. But actually, TikTok has really developed over the last year, and it's almost a learning device now as well, a learning platform for anything you want to learn, actually, from, you know, knitting to fishing to dancing to whatever. I think actually, because cricket is set up as a game of lots of 5 to 10 second events, i.e. balls, I think actually it's perfect. TikTok is perfect for dividing the game up, packaging the game in a different sort of way. Not necessarily just highlights clips, though that's one area, but just also little nuances of the game you know, the laws of the game, kind of odd things that have happened in the game at all levels, from domestic right to international. I saw a really funny little TikTok clip yesterday promoting the third test between Pakistan and Australia of an Australian landing in, I suppose, Karachi or somewhere, hoping to get to the third test, picked up by a taxi driver in a tuk-tuk. And then the fan said, right, can you take me to the ground? And the Pakistani driver of the tuk-tuk became Australian and started talking in an Australian voice and taking him through markets. And it just kind of almost brought Australia to Pakistan in a kind of quite interesting cultural way. And it was just really funny to see this Pakistani tuk-tuk driver talking in an Australian accent to all his friends in the market, who all came back with, all right, Cobber, you know, I'll see you down the match later. And it was just, it was kind of quite sort of silly, but just another way of packaging or attracting or marketing the third test.
Yeah. So just to be clear, you wouldn't put a match on TikTok. You'd only show clips on TikTok.
Well, it's restricted to I think the maximum length of time of a video is like 3 minutes or something. So you can't put a whole match anyway. But it's perfectly set up for packaging a game, and they're doing it with the Six Nations actually as well. The TikTok is one of the sponsors of the Six Nations, and they're using it again, the platform again, to highlight great moments from the Six Nations or great moments from the past or something. So it's just another form of content, but I think we're going to see more of that kind of thing.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, this test series, it's quite easy to pick up via Twitter that the highlights on from BT, you know, they are making those available on Twitter, so you can see the wickets that are falling, and that obviously, what they hope, presumably, draw them to their coverage of the live coverage. There weren't so many highlights on there yesterday as Craig Brathwaite dug in. I mean, I think another Craig Brathwaite defensive shot against Jack Leach is probably not necessarily going to cut it in terms of getting out as a video clip. But you know, he did the job for his side. The other thing I just noticed about Brathwaite yesterday, Yoz, he can bowl quickly, can he? He doesn't just bowl at 37 miles an hour or 41 miles an hour. He can bowl in the 50s as well, because he bowled an over last night in which he was bowling at 85 kilometres per hour, 88 kilometres per hour. I thought, yeah, so Brathwaite, he just wants to be in the game the whole time. Anyway, he has got it in his armoury. It's good to see he doesn't just bowl those little lollipop deliveries that look so innocuous. Innocuous, there we go. Is that what we're going to get on the final day? Is it going to be an innocuous last day to this test series? I mean, sometimes the matches speed up, don't they, on the last day? But I think both teams are fighting against really quite difficult circumstances to really make something happen. But who knows? It's the game of cricket. England are only 10 balls from victory. You have to look at it like that.
Well, I think the best way of approaching it today is do your gardening or go for your long walk or do whatever, and then come back in at about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
See what's happening.
Maybe that the pot will have been stirred and there'll be something bubbling up. But don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll be back tomorrow to review the entire match and hope something happens that's exciting to talk about. See you then.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.